Jagna Podcast.
Greetings and welcome back to the Jagna Podcast. I am your host, Brandon Jones. And on today's episode, we're going to get into chapter one of the audiobook, Level Elite. And chapter one is on mindset. Mindset is something that is talked about often in these cycles and circles of personal development, self-help, psychology, spirituality, leadership. All these areas talk about mindset, and it's very important to understand the role that one's mindset plays in their ability to change the outcomes and the reality of their situation. Now, just changing your mindset alone does not make your life better. However, it does put you in position to make those changes that is needed. And one thing that I attempted to do with this audiobook is give people concepts, food for thought, to help alter their mentality so that they can take action and be elite within their lives. So this is chapter one. I hope you enjoy it. If you have not subscribed to the Jagna Podcast, please do so. If you enjoy the Jagna Podcast, please share it with somebody that you care about. If you don't enjoy the Jagna Podcast, share it through your social media and tell people why you think that this podcast sucks. Either way, share the podcast. I appreciate it. And as always, be safe, be constructive, and be elite. And I will holler at y'all again soon next week with chapter two. But for this week, chapter one, mindset. Enjoy. Chapter one. Everything starts with mindset. There's a saying out there that there is a war on for your mind. I agree with this saying. I believe there is a war on for your mind. There's a famous quote that says, "I don't care who controls the money as long as I control the minds." Our mindset is the key to our behaviors and the key to our outcomes. Someone with a toxic mindset has a toxic life, toxic results, toxic outlook. Someone with an abundant mindset has abundance in their life. Success, joy, happiness, these things that everyone strives to have. Your mindset is so very important. And hey, I'm not just saying this because I'm a psychologist. I often feel like mindset is often overlooked by the masses. Now, if you're one who engages in self-help, motivation, inspirational speeches, all these gurus, Les Browns, Tony Robbins, Jack Canfield, these types of folks, you hear a lot about mindset, right? There's even that great book with the growth mindset and by Carol Disnick, I think that's her name. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. But mindset is a huge thing. Mindset is a huge part of our success. But for the masses, we don't think about our mentality a lot. We don't think about our mindset, and we don't think about who controls our thoughts, right? You know, is it you? Is it your parents? You know, or is it your peers? Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your partner. Who really controls our mindset? I mean, we're influenced by so many different things. So many different things. Who really dictates how our mindset how our focus should influence our actions and our behaviors? Like, who's doing that? We all consume so much information, especially now where everyone has a cell phone, right? Cell phone, you know, we have access to so much information. We're being propagandized from so many different angles. Who's really controlling our mindset and our thoughts? Is it you? That's a huge question you need to ask yourself. You know, why do you want them J's? Why do you want all this stuff? If I go ba da ba ba ba, what is that? I'm not even gonna say it. You already know what it is. Propaganda, right? So your mindset, who controls that? The greatest part of waking up is you fill in the rest. right? Like, we've had all this. We've been indoctrinated with all these slogans and brands that our mindsets have been crafted. And it's up to you to take back some of that control to focus your mindset. Right? So, you know, everything's about success. You know, being elite starts with the mindset. So, let's talk about influences and how our mindsets are actually shaped. How is our mindset shaped? You know, I break this down into four levels. Number one, our environments. Number two, culture. You know, whether that's being socialized or system culture. Number three, language. And number four, our mindsets are shaped by our experiences. And whether that's primary experiences and influences or secondary. And I'm going to break those down. So let's talk about our environments. Understanding how your environment influences your mindset is critical. The reason for this is that we are humans. We're social creatures, which means that we live in social constructs, which means that our environments play a huge role in our mentality. Right? So, if you come from an environment where there's a lot of toxic stress, a lot of trauma, a lot of people arguing and fighting, a lot of people who, you know, don't trust one another, a lot of people who, you know, there's always noise all day, 24/7, there's noise. That's going to shift your mentality differently if you come from a place that doesn't. And think about it like this. What if you come from a place where you have to hunt and gather your own food? It's going to be very different than if you lived in a community or a place where there was, you know, two or three grocery stores to choose from. Your environment plays a huge role on your mindset. For example, Black people who live in Minnesota. Now, in the Twin Cities, I should say, in Minnesota. Now, the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul are very interesting when it comes to Black people. A lot of Black people who come here are first or second generation Black folks because people come to Minnesota for opportunities, jobs. You know, we have various different social programs that help folks. So people come here looking for something. There's very few families that have been here for several generations. Now, why is that important? Because the people that I work with, especially the youth that I work with, a lot of times they haven't left their environment. They haven't had any exposure to anything different. So all they know is Minneapolis, or all they know is St. Paul. And every so often they might go back to their hometown where they came from, whether that was Chicago, St. Louis, Milwaukee, Detroit. Usually that's where people come from. Some people come from down south up here, but usually it's one of those four major cities. So all they know is Minneapolis and Chicago, or Minneapolis and Milwaukee. They don't know anything about the West Coast. They don't know anything about Texas or the South. They have no concept for how East Coast culture operates and works. All they know is their block, their community, and that's it. You'll be amazed how many people don't even travel within the state. It's very important. Exposure to different environments and to different spaces is huge for our mindset and our development. Because if you stay stuck in one space for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, that's all you know. So that culture in that one space is all you know and all you operate off of. Now, we do have a great advantage of having the internet, which exposes a lot of things that are happening around the world. But it's very different when you actually can see these things and experience these things on your own. For example, I did not leave the country for the first time until I was 26 years old. And when I left the country, I went to Jamaica. And that was a huge cultural revolution for me. I mean, I learned so much, and it was very huge for my my marriage at the time, because me and my wife were able to connect on a different level due to that experience that we had in Jamaica. It was lovely. And I contribute all of that to what we experienced being there. It was huge. It was a different environment. It was a different way of life. as a different way of living, and it made us reevaluate our purpose as one together, as a union. It was awesome. And I think about how many Black people I know that have never been outside the country, that have never been to more than, you know, two or three states in their lifetime. Environments are very important to understanding who you are and understanding your mentality. And if you want your mindset to grow, you have to get some exposure outside of your environment. The reason why this exposure is so vital and important is because it gives you access to different cultures. There's different ways that things are done all around the world, even within the United States, right? There's one thing that I always hear is that Black people are not a monolithic group. We're all very different. We should not all treat ourselves the same. Like, we hear these things all the time, which to a certain extent I agree with, right? But, you know, we're not monolithic. However, our trauma and our pain is very monolithic. Like, we experience these things globally. And that's a whole nother audiobook to get into, but I thought I'd just drop that little piece in there for you right there. But we got to understand cultures, right? So, you know, Black folks in Oakland do things different than Black folks in Arkansas, right? Black folks in Arkansas, Little Rock, Arkansas, do different than Black folks in New Orleans. Black folks in New Orleans do things different than Black folks in Atlanta. And people and Black folks in Washington, D.C. do things different. Like, and Black folks here in the Twin Cities do things different. So our cultures are different. And that's why socialization is very important, because that's how our mindset is shaped. Right. So if you listen to someone like E-40, right? Ooh, E-40. E-40 has his own language, and people in the Bay, they understand that language. But people here in the Twin Cities, we're like, what the hell are they talking about? What is he saying? We don't get it because we haven't been socialized in that culture. Right. So, and there might be things and things that we say, things that we wear, you know, how we behave, that is culturally different depending on your location and your environment. And what the and all this is a socialization. Being socialized affects your mindset and it shapes your mentality. So when you're operating, and all socialization is an operating system. So when you're in a certain environment, in a certain group or setting, you're in a system that creates a socialized culture. And that shapes your individual mindset. And that determines and dictates where you're going and how you're going and why you're going to places. And it's important for us to understand that we live in a social context, a cultural context, a system that affects our mentality and where we're going. Which brings in language. Now, language can be a topic that can get really deep for people. And I'm not a linguist, so I don't study. I don't have a PhD in anything. I don't have a PhD in linguistics either. But language is something that's very important. And language comes in multiple different forms. We have the written form. We also have verbal language. We also have body language. Like, these things shape our mentality. And the way that people speak to us, or the way you speak to someone else, or your body language towards someone, or someone, you know, gives you some shade or gives you a dirty look, that affects your mentality and your mindset, right? So, for example, language, right? So if I say, "What's up, man? How you doing?" You may think, "Oh, okay, you just gonna say what's up with me." But if I come up to you and I'm like, "Hey, what's up? What's up? What you doing? What's up?" You might feel like, "Oh, this dude's being hostile. He want these hands. He want a problem." Like, you might get offended depending on my tone, right? So language encompasses a lot of different things, and it shapes our mentality and what we do and how we interpret things. Language is a very important piece to understand in mindset. Why do you speak the way you speak? Why do you dress the way you dress? Why do you get tense when you're in the presence of police, right? Why do you get excited when you're around a group of attractive individuals? Why do you do these things? Language. Language is very important. Right now, I'm speaking English. So if I send this audiobook off to some Black folks that live in Asia somewhere, And they say to their Asian friends, hey, listen to this audiobook, but that Asian friend doesn't speak English very well. They might not understand what the hell I'm talking about. Language is important. Language is very important. But two of the major things that I believe are important based off of our environment, culture, and language is our experiences within these things, right? Our experiences definitely shape our mindsets within these things. And I have decided that there are two influence types. There's what we call primary influences and secondary influences. Primary influences. Primary influences include your parents, your peers, and other people in your life. We learn from what we see as children. Children learn from what they see. You know, whether that is, you know, people arguing and fighting, people being very lovey, huggy, holding hands, people embracing each other in very open and caring and joyful manners. People learn from what they see, whether that's children, adolescents, or adults. We live in, like, once again, we live in a social context. So our primary influences have a huge effect on our mentalities and our mindset. We get these things. I often tell people that people always talk about the parents, right? So if anything goes wrong, one of the things you'll always hear or see someone put in comments is, where is this person's parents? These people need to get their butts whooped because where are their parents? But one thing we have to keep in mind is that parents don't educate children alone. People are educated in, once again, social context. So parents do have a pivotal role, though. Parents and family, I should say. Because parents set the foundation, right? They set the tone for the individual or the children. However, the community sets the mold. And this is one of the things that we need to understand as Black people, is our community set the mold for what our children will do. We need to change our, we need to train our children to change. We need to train our children to be successful. We need to train our children to be revolutionary and to pick up things in the social order so that we as a collective are taken to a different place than where we are now. That comes from a communal focus. So parents just set the tone, right? They set the tone for the child or the children. But the community sets the mold. And when you have a community that's not well organized, that's infested with toxic stress and trauma, these are the results that you will get from our children and for yourself. Now, why am I talking about children when this is an audiobook that's here to help you? Because you need to analyze your childhood. You need to analyze your primary influences and understand, what did they give to you? What did you learn from your peers? What did you learn from your family members? What did you learn from your parents? Good or bad, what were those things? How did those things impact and influence where you are right now? How did they do that? So that's primary influences. The next thing is secondary influences. And this one's huge. This is the one that everyone blames stuff on. If it's not the parents, it's the secondary influence, right? And secondary influences are these: media, icons, and thought leaders. Let's start with media. Media has always taken the blame for what's going wrong in societies, especially when it comes to Black people. So, in the 70s, in the 80s, and in the 90s, it was more traditional media. So, oh, they're listening to all that such and such music that's making them do that. So we had the radio and music, or we had newspapers and magazines. And then when TV got big and more Black people were able to get TVs, it was the TV and the movies that were being shown that were encouraging other people to do things, which to a certain extent is true. But now we have taken the media to a whole new level with social media. So we have YouTube, right? We have live streaming, We have podcasts and blogs and various different social networks that have that influence our mentalities. Think about Black Twitter. Think about the presence of Black people on Instagram and Snapchat. Think about DJ Khaled. Major key right there. Secondary influences play a huge, huge role in our mentality. Because we consume so much of this stuff, we start to attach ourselves to it, and that shapes our identity, which ultimately comes from our mentality. This also happens with icons. Right now, as I record this audiobook, a huge icon in the Black community is Cardi B. And whether you like Cardi B or you don't like Cardi B, she is an icon within the community. And I give her a lot of credit because I respect Cardi B's hustle. She's doing a really good job with that. But she's an icon. LeBron James, Steph Curry, these people are icons. Now, they're all entertainers. That's one of the issues. But because a lot of our icons don't get put on a pedestal outside of entertainment. However, our icons are people of influence. Thought leaders are a huge one. And this is more for folks who are in tech world, who are in the motivational speaker world or online marketing world. A lot of thought leaders. So we see a lot of people that we admire. So Dame Dash, Dr. Boyce Watkins, Tariq Nasheed, right? We see these thought leaders, these people who have great information, great philosophies, great knowledge, and we aspire to be like them or be with them. Thought leaders are secondary influences, and they help shape our mentalities. These aren't necessarily bad things, but these are things that are important for you to understand as you consume so much of this information. How is this having an impact on your mindset and your mentality? And as you understand how this is having an impact on your mindset and mentality, you need to think about what type of person are you? After we consume so much of this, what type of person are we? And I split us up into two types of people. Either you're going to be a reactive person or you're going to be a results-focused person. Well, now, what are those two things, right? So a reactive person has reactive thinking. So they might see someone say something or something happen and they just react automatically without actually analyzing the situation. This is why people don't like certain people. Oh, I hate so-and-so. That's a B. That person's a bed wench. That person's a coon. Because we just have reactive thinking. We just automatically go off what someone else is saying or what we've seen in a short clip without any context, and we just react to the situation. That's used for our mindsets. We're not doing a lot of processing. We're just automatically reacting. Or a lot of times that what happens in this is a lot of people just follow what the majority is saying instead of thinking about the situation for themselves, and they just react. So that's a reactive person. Or you can be the second type of person, which is a results-focused person. And this type of person is a proactive thinker. They're able to think and process and analyze and come to conclusions and understand the context of situations. This is someone who's actually taking this information and applying it to themselves and understanding, how is this affecting me and what I'm doing? And this is what I hope you gain either from this audiobook or other things, or hopefully you're already at this and you're continuing to maintain it. Because it's very easy to slide into the reactive thinking. We all do it. We all been propagandized into this culture where reactive thinking is very easy to be a part of. So we want to talk about what Kim Kardashian did or the crazy thing that Kanye tweeted out. This very reactive thinking, right? Or what, you know, Donald Trump is saying or what Hillary Clinton's doing. Like, that's all reactive thinking. And it's done and put there on purpose to keep us not growing, not getting to level elite. Because once you just stay reacting to things, you're never being proactive. You're never being analytical. You're never thinking these things out. You're just always responding, reacting, and that's dangerous. So being results focused is understanding, okay, what does this have to do with me and what I'm doing? And once you get to that area, once you get to that area of mentality and mindset, you're going to be better off because you're going to be able to weed out the things that are non-constructive, and you're going to be able to embrace the things that are constructive, and that's going to help you grow. Here's a quote that I want you to remember. You are either growing or you are dying as time moves forward. So now that you had some time to decipher if you're a reactive person or results-focused person and the type of thinking that you may have, the next concept that I would like to share with you and hopefully get you to kind of understand better is self-efficiency. Self-efficiency, which is probably the core of this whole audiobook, is I want to help you become self-efficient. My belief is if individuals can become self-efficient, ultimately that will have an impact on the community. One person that's a huge influence for myself is Mr. Nellie Fuller Jr. And Mr. Nellie Fuller Jr. has this concept of the United Independent, which is part of the title of his book, The Code. And United Independent, what that means, if every single person does everything that is constructive, anything that they can do is constructive, everyone will benefit. If everyone is being constructive, it's going to benefit the collective because everyone is doing what they're supposed to be doing, the right corrective actions, and they're all working to produce justice, so nothing harmful will happen. And that's what I believe we have to do. A lot of times we have this big top-down approach to solving problems, right? If we can just get these people to speak up, or if we can just get everybody to think the same, instead of having a bottom-up approach where individuals focus on their own efforts to get better with a collective kind of goal in mind, that will get us to where we need to go. Now, everyone doesn't believe that, and it's up to you to decide how do you feel will be beneficial. But before you do that, before you make your conclusion on that, I want you to think about self-efficiency. So what is self-efficiency, right? Self-efficiency, or beliefs in your own abilities to deal with various situations, can play a role in not only how you feel about yourself, but whether or not you're successful in achieving your goals in life. This is the essence of self-sufficiency. So a quick and easy definition for self-efficiency is the belief in one's capabilities to organize and execute the course of action required to manage prospective situations. Or in other words, self-efficiency is a person's belief in his or her own abilities to succeed in a particular situation. Therefore, your abilities, attitudes, and cognitive skills comprise what is known as your self-system. System thinking. I'm trying to get you to understand system thinking. So, this system plays a major role in how we perceive situations and how we behave in response to different situations. Self-sufficiency plays a role in the essential part of your self-system. You have to think of yourself as a system within a system. Now, I don't want to get too deep and woo-woo on you, but think about that. Think about your attitudes, your abilities, and your cognitive skills, your mindset, and how that all comes together to form your self-system, and how that self-system influences your community, your family, your partner. This is why mentality is so important to understand. Our mentality and our mindset is usually focused on goals, right? I talked about being a results-focused person, which a result can be considered to be a goal. And virtually all people can identify goals that they want to accomplish, you know, these things, or they can identify things that they want to change, you know, things that they would like to achieve. We all do this. We all do this. And that might be part of the reason why you downloaded the audiobook. It's because you want to change something. You want to accomplish something. You want to achieve something. However, where we run into most of our difficulty is most people also realize that putting these plans into action is not quite that simple. It's not easy. It's not easy to do these things. It's not easy to go out here and to say, all right, I'm only making $35,000 a year. I need to be making $55,000 a year. Let me figure out what I need to do that. A lot of people will say, okay, I'm just going to go back to school. And that was my mentality. That's why I have two master's degrees. I mean, just doing what I thought was going to be the most helpful, which ultimately I could have did something else that probably would have got me to the level that I'm at a lot quicker. But believing in your own personal system, believing in your own capabilities was huge. My mindset and my mentality was not right for me at the time. Now, with the information and the exposure that I've had since that time, I would have did things completely different, completely different. And you may be feeling this exact same way. And if you're not feeling this exact same way, I'm glad that you were able to hear this audiobook so that you do not get into that situation, because that is something that you don't want. You don't want to have the shoulda, coulda, woulda mentality, because the shoulda, woulda, coulda mentality keeps us stuck, keeps us in that comfort zone. And there's no growth in the comfort zone, and there's no comfort in the growth zone. So, here are some qualities of people with a strong sense of self-efficiency. One, they view challenging problems as tasks to be mastered. So you see something you want to get and you say, okay, I can do this. And not only am I going to do it, I'm going to be the best at it that I can be. Number two, they develop deeper interest in the activities in which they participate. Now, this comes up a lot in sports. This is how people like Steph Curry can become one of the greatest three-point shooters, or just shooters in general, of all time. He developed a deeper interest in his activity and he practices it like crazy. A lot of people talk about Steph Curry's pregame warm-up activities where he's dribbling two basketballs all crazy, because he's developed a deeper interest in those activities that he participates in. Therefore, he rises to a level where he can become a two-time MVP. You need to do the same thing in whatever interest you have. Number three, they form a strong sense of commitment to their interests and activities. Back to Steph Curry again. He does that routine every pregame and probably does it at practice. But you got to have a strong commitment. Commitment is very important to anything you're trying to do. A lot of people give up on stuff because it makes them too uncomfortable. It gets too stressful. They get tired and they give up. But you got to make a strong commitment to your interest and activities to get to the level elite. And number four, they recover quickly from setbacks and disappointments. Major key, right? So something didn't work out, something didn't happen, you know, something fell through, but you recover from it. You learn from that mistake and you keep it pushing. You recover quickly. And it's hard, though. It's very hard when something doesn't work out and you're passionate about it and you've been trying and trying and trying and it fails. It's really hard to bounce back. But you got to bounce back. If you don't bounce back, then you ain't going to make it. You ain't going to make it. So remember these four. View challenging problems as tasks to be mastered. Develop deeper interest in the activities in which you participate in. You form a strong sense of commitment to your interest and activities, and you recover quickly from your setbacks and disappointments. Those are four qualities of someone with a strong sense of self-efficiency. Now, here are four qualities of someone with weak sense of self-efficiency. All right, Number one, they avoid challenging tasks. Just, I can't do that. You know, just eliminating yourself from even trying. I hear this a lot. As a therapist, I work with a lot of young people. That's kind of like my niche, is working with young Black people, youth. And one of the things that I hear the most from young people is, I don't know. I don't know. They say, I don't know to everything. And I don't know has become a defense mechanism for their emotions. And you may have done this, and you may do this now, where I don't know is a defense mechanism for your emotions, where you're avoiding challenging tasks. Sometimes a challenging task can be going to a new place. Thinking can be a challenging task for some people. You know, sitting still is a challenging task for people. Asking for help is a challenging task for people. You know, so people avoid these things because they don't have enough self-efficiency and self-confidence to do these things. So number one is avoiding challenging tasks. Number two, believing that tasks are difficult in situations are beyond your capabilities. So the belief that things are too difficult, the tasks are too difficult, or the situation's too difficult, and they are beyond your capabilities. You have to have some faith in yourself. You have to be your own personal cheerleader. No one is going to toot your horn louder than you, not even your mama. For real, think about it. No one's going to have your back better than you will have your back, because you know yourself better than anybody. So if you don't believe in your capabilities to handle any task or situation, you already have defeated yourself. You played yourself. Don't play yourself. You got to believe that you have the capabilities, the skills, the knowledge to handle any difficult task or difficult situation. And if you don't have the skills or capability, you should be able to have access to something or someone who can assist you in completing those tasks or handling those situations in a better manner. Number three, they focus on personal failings and negative outcomes. Sounds like most people's social media. Think about all the negativity that comes up. You know, everybody's talking about they got haters, right? Everybody's got haters. Everybody's throwing shade. You know, everybody's hating on someone. And people focus on personal failings. So then you start developing low self-esteem. You might even have anxiety. You might even develop depression. You know, they were coping with several different types of things: drugs, alcohol, sex, food, media, violence. We're coping with these things because we focus on our personal failings and our negative outcomes. And to flip the script, one of the things that you should pick up is focusing on your strengths and the things that did go well. And that's very important. But people who have a weak sense of self-efficiency, they focus on their personal failings and their negative outcomes. Number four, they quickly lose confidence in their personal abilities. Man, this is the hardest one. This is the hardest one. When you lose confidence in the abilities that you have as a person, it keeps you in a place of hopelessness and helplessness. And those are places that I hope that you never will be in. And if you are in those places, you definitely need to get connected with someone who can help you get out, whether that's a professional or someone that you just know personally. It's hard. And if you have a weak sense of self-efficiency, it's very easy for you to quickly lose confidence in your abilities. You are capable to do damn near anything you want. However, you gotta, level up to do those things. And those, one, avoiding challenging tasks, believing that difficult tasks and situations are beyond your capabilities, focusing on personal feelings and negative outcomes, and number four, quickly losing confidence in your abilities. Those are the four qualities of weak self-efficiency. When someone has a weak sense of self-efficiency, one thing that we often do is we create personal fictions about ourselves. We create these personas, these ideals, and these concepts about ourselves that aren't necessarily true, but it keeps us comfortable and it keeps us in a place where we're not willing to do anything different. It keeps us in that comfort zone of dysfunction. And these personal fictions are things that are negative or they're non-constructive beliefs about yourself. So whether you just feel like you're fat, you're stupid, you're ugly, you're incapable, you know, whatever, you're too skinny. Where if you're having any of these thoughts about yourself that may not be true, you will remain stuck in a comfort zone of dysfunction. And this is very important because our mentalities are key. And if you believe those things to be true, even though they may not, then it's up to you to do something about it. You can't just let time handle it. You can't just let go and let God handle it. You can't let your mama handle it. You gotta do something. And you better do something now.